or sentimental reason to root for the Niners. Because I see all the, there's lots of Chiefs angles to me. There's Andy Reid, there's 50 years, mm-hmm. there's things like that. But for the Niners, you got, all right, 40-year-old coach who's, you know, and somewhat in the Lucky Sperm Club, and he's a wonderful coach, and I think he's brilliant, but he'll probably be there again sometime. You've got the incredibly handsome quarterback who's been handed a $137 million contract before he proved a damn thing, really. You've got a franchise that's won any number of times. John Lynch was a winner before he got that job. Fleeced the Bears as well.
I'm mindful of last time they were there, Colin Kaepernick was their quarterback, and I start thinking about his history and what he still continues to mean in absentia.
Mm-hmm. You which, and PETA, apparently.
Yeah, apparently so. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, Eagles have knees, which I did not know.
I've only seen that ad so far. I haven't seen it with the audio or anything, but it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it's fairly ridiculous.
Okay. I mean, I'm not a PETA guy at all, but well done, PETA. Just an applause on my
behalf for that.
You know what, though?
I find it appropriative. PETA can do what it wants, but I think for them to try to grab onto that is a reach. And I think it's a somewhat of an insult.
I haven't seen it. With the audio, I kind of like to see what they're saying.
If you're talking about animals and that whole thing, and you're trying to glom on to the cause of actual human beings being shot and killed.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think I'm with you on that.
It's a fish.
Right. Yeah, especially because they go with end speciesism. There at the end.
Did we check? Is that a
sorry?
It's the assumption. It's the assumption of human superiority leading to the exploitation of animals. So how exactly does that connect to Colin Kaepernick? Right. If anything, it connects in an ugly way that you're saying that the kneelers are their own species or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean.
There's nothing good about connecting that.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Connor says, I'm not going to stop eating fish.
Nope. Not happening.
I'm not going to have a hot dog.
Is part of their mission that they would like you to, though?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So then, yeah. I think in their minds, they're accomplishing their goal by getting their message.
Well, because they're saying that a fish is equal to a human being, and they're wrong.
Like, speciesism is a... Stop trying to make fetch happen. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about speciesism.
All right, boys. Thank you so much for being here.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy your weekend. And we are in for Lawrence Holmes. You and I, Anthony Herron, are Lawrence Holmes. And here's how we get rolling on 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. Sitting in for Lawrence Holmes are The Score's Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
It is 670 The Score. It is me, Matt Spiegel, and him, Anthony Herron, in for Lawrence Holmes, who's been down in Miami all week. A busy, busy man, and we are here for you until 2 o'clock. Phone lines are wide open at 312-644-6767. You want to chat at us. We've got conversation for you, and we're going to talk to each other, because Anthony Herron, we've never done a show together.
We have not, and I was looking forward to this, and I was trying to remember if it was my feeble memory that was an issue, because I've certainly interacted with you plenty, and we've done some transitions here and there over the years.
Yep.
Have I ever done a full show with Speegs?
I don't think so. And since June of 2009, when I started with Mac, June 15th, 2009, I have worked with 32 different co-hosts. Ron Gleason was number 32 a couple weeks ago when we did like a score retrospective. So you're number 33.
All right.
And I'm
big on double numbers, by the way.
Are you really?
55 was my high school number. 77 was my first NFL number. Mm-hmm. Sandwiched in between those. 99 was my college number at Iowa. So I'm big.
There you go.
Numbers. This works out very well.
That very nice. So 33 and my best 33 all time, Tony Dorsett.
Oh.
It's a hell of a 33.
Like that. Yeah. That's good. Scottie Pippen, perhaps?
He's pretty good. Kareem at 33. Not bad. Mm. Not bad. Yeah, we got options here.
Lofty expectations for the next 2 hours.
Why the double numbers? Why have you been big into the double numbers?
I don't know. Maybe it's a bit of my OCD that I inherited from my mom, I think. Just the symmetry of it all probably has some effect on just the way I kind of always view myself, try to be, symmetrical. I'm fairly symmetrical in my shape, in my body mass. I'm fairly symmetrical in a number of ways. I don't know. It appealed to me. There was, I think my very first number ever before I got to varsity at Bolingbrook High School was maybe like 50 or 70 or something like that. Well, you know what? That's fine, but give me the double numbers.
Give me the double.
Stuck with it.
33 will take you to the NBA with Kareem, with Larry Bird.
All right.
With Shaquille O'Neal, with Pat Ewing at 33, with Scottie Pippen. I forgot Shaq was 33 too. Frank Robinson is the lone baseball player in the top five on ranker.com. Then there's Mike Piazza. Eddie Murray at 33. My guy Tony Dorsett, not down there till number nine. Not till number nine. And then Patrick Waugh. We're talking about hockey, not the NBA. Larry Walker going into the Hall of Fame this year. But Patrick Roy.
Didn't someone famously mispronounce him as Patrick Roy?
All of us.
Like on a White House visit or something like that.
I'm sure that's the case. just about all of us. But man, I loved watching Dorsett. I will tell you, Anthony Herron, that I have, from the get-go, from the first time I heard your name, confused you with Boom Herron.
As has been the case.
Right?
Quite frequently.
Midwest, yeah. Uh-huh. Big Ten, yeah. Boom Herron. But you know, Anthony Herron, Iowa football, arena football. That's the part I didn't know.
Of arena football fame. That's me.
Dude, I love that. And we talked about it one time. You were a guest with me like a month ago or something like that. And I was like, all right, we got to talk about this. Because you were a player, but you were a head coach.
I was, man. I was a player. I was a coach. I was an executive with the league. I've been all in and around the
NFL.
That's
insane.
It was quite an experience.
I bet.
They already did the XFL 30 for 30. But if at some point I really get the chance to sit down and wrap my mind around. My wife keeps telling me to do it. She tells me to write a bunch of stuff. But at some point, if I would just sit down and interview the right folks, who I know all of them, and just write the story of the AFL and all its various iterations, I think it would make for a pretty entertaining and compelling piece of cinema.
Well, for sure. So you were in, was it AFL 2? Is that what it was called?
When I began coaching, it was AF 2 at that point. Initially, as a player, it was still the original iteration of arena football before it went into bankruptcy and came back.
Mm.
And at the time, I was in the NFL for a few years, and then I played arena football initially for a season in Indianapolis. Then I got signed by the Falcons. I was in Atlanta 04 and 05. And then I went back to arena football from that point. And from there was in the AFL in Nashville and then in Grand Rapids. Then after that, I mean, this is after surgery head to toe. I said, you know what?
Wow.
It's enough of this wife pushing me around in wheelchairs thing for various surgeries. Let's call that part quits. Then I immediately went in.